It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here in Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here from Phoenix, Arizona, in the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. But, man, if we don't have a lot of reasons to be concerned, I'm gonna preface this rant a little bit with just some history, and so you understand in some of the news today and what we're gonna talk about. I'll tell you what we're gonna do. This morning on the morning show, we had Jack Gregson come in and schoolify me and Pal Gamble, senior editor for Freedoms Phoenix, on the economy and different charts that he does for Freedoms Phoenix. And I'm going to be able to distill it down for you and give you the goodie. And we'll put the PDFs up on the site, and we're going to make a YouTube out of the show and with all the charts so you can see them. And I'm going to do my best to try and describe them, what they're telling us, because I want to get this out. I want to get an archive. And I want the afternoon audience to know this, because I'm telling you guys, the end is nigh, and I want you to be prepared. You know, it's got chickens. I mean, this is important stuff, because I am of the opinion that this is going to come crashing down, I don't know, sooner rather than later, but there's a lot of things they can't do. They can't hold certain things off forever. I know they really, really want to go through the next election cycle. And if they can't, then who are they going to blame it on? Because right before the last election cycle, the presidential vote in November of 2008, they had already done the TARP. You know, this is it could not. We can't wait any longer, you know. And of course, they were. See if the timing was right that they were threatening congressmen with, we're going to do martial law and you're definitely not going to get reelected now. Or, I mean, you know, nothing surprises me. You know, do we know that they did that? I don't know. Would it shock you? I don't even pay attention anymore. But what I do know is that you can't get away from math. And things are getting really bad. They are holding off, writing off a lot of the debt on commercial real estate, because the second that they start, it's going to mark everything else in their portfolio. So imagine if you got, big office building or shopping mall or whatever, and you actually go ahead and foreclose on it or sell it. Well, then that anything like that also gets marked down on your butt. They're going, whoa, 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 no. And they keep changing accounting laws. They keep changing all kinds of stuff so that they can get away with this one more election cycle. But there are other things that go along with an economic collapse. I mean, we're talking about a total collapse. I mean, you may experience a lot of it in your life, and you're going, hey, you know, I just lost half of my pension. Pal Gamble started writing for Freedoms Phoenix in the end of 2005. Now, he retired as a government employee. He was the bioterrorism lab manager for the Arizona Department of Health. He is he's got a big brain box. I mean, this guy, you know, virologist, a bacteriologist, microbiologist, he's all kind of ist. He's a scientist. And he do all the DNA sequencing, kind of run all kind of the goober machines and lots of buttons and dials and do, okay? But he said, you know, okay, I'm good, I'm done. And he's been a libertarian a long time, run for Congress even before then. And this time he goes, you know, I'm out, I'm good, time to retire. In 2006, he was so concerned, a lot of the stuff that we do and the research that we have and the economists that we put on Freedom's Phoenix, that he himself, he talked about it this morning, he goes, I went and I totally closed out my retirement account, my pension. Now, he wished in retrospect that he'd done some of it in 2005, you know, a little bit earlier, so he didn't have to do it all in 06 because he took a bigger tax hit. But he goes, it didn't matter. I wanted to get it out. And he bought gold with it. He bought gold when it was in the high 700s, low 800s, around in there. So he made a 20% increase right now while everybody else has took a dump. So did he get rich? No. I mean, he came out ahead, but with inflation, I mean, you know, he at least retained the value of his retirement. How many people can you say that about? How many people were paying attention? How many people were doing the research, reading Freedom's Phoenix? This is going to happen again. Now, during that time, the stock market was still, it was going up, up, up. You know, housing price going up, up, up. His stock, when he sold it in early 06, he didn't catch the peak. You know, I mean, it could have gone a little bit more. You know, of course, gold kind of went up with it. But so all in all, he probably picked about as good a time as you're going to get to convert it over into gold. So he goes, all right, he felt comfortable with that decision, did it, done, one less thing I got to think about. The people that didn't, the people that he worked with, the people that, you know, a lot of them did. You know, a lot of them, they were, you know, they talk a lot and everything, but he retires, he's done, new guys come in, they got all their pensions and such in the government, and they're all, it's all good, you know, it's government. Well, how'd that work out? What are they doing now? Right now, in the last couple of days, they've been talking about they're going to encourage, force, cajole, put a 45 to somebody's head, and get the banks bailed out with pension money from the governments. Now, well, government employees and so on, because that's where all the money is. They're in these retirement accounts, the social and economic engineering, put it in their buckets of money. Well, here it comes. Because the FDIC is broke, all this, I mean, it's falling apart, and we'll go over some of the charts now. At the same time of an economic collapse, when you had these kinds of things, you know, what do they do? You know, we got to get everything all fixed and done and bring it together, and that's what they did in Germany. They had IBM punch cards. They did their censuses, just like they're doing the snapshot of America. I want a snapshot of America. Get Hollywood all involved in this thing. They are going to take and do exactly what they did in Nazi Germany, even before it was a Nazi regime. They go ahead and they have all of the criteria, any and every bit of information they can get on there. Your health records now are going to go collectively into some government database. That's what HIPAA was all about. You know, the privacy. Yeah. Nobody can get it except anybody from the government. Well, you know, the one thing that I'm going, that's cool. You want to, you know, consolidate all this information about my health and stuff. I'm good with that. And I'll take it and put it in my wallet. And it's mine. Thank you for playing. You know, if I want to put it on a microchip in the back of my hand, that's my decision. Or not. It's when you start forcing this kind of stuff. You want to know who the bad guys are? It's when it's a requirement. So you can do all kinds of forehead tattooing you want. In fact, some people do. I mean, I've seen people with barcodes in the back of their neck just as a protest or something. I mean, I don't even know what the barcode is. It could be for a, you know, can of their favorite Campbell's tomato soup. I mean, you don't know. It's not a bad idea. It's cool. What would I barcode? Can't think of anything. But so I'm going, okay, how do we approach this with the census coming up and them doing the same kind of numbering of the cattle? That's the same mentality, the same attitude. You know, there's some people it's going to be disposable. In Germany, they had runaway inflation. Weimar Republic, they went down, and that kind of gave rise to them. Plus, you know, it was all the punitive payment that they wanted from Germany, reparations to France and so on during that time because World War One, and it was they could never pay it back. It was not even possible. So of course they wanted their money in gold. They were, you know, punishing Germany because they could. You know, it was the Treaty of Versailles, and it gave rise to a strong thug, Hitler, going, no, we're not. And you know what? We got a bunch of tanks now. We're building planes and this and ships and everything, and we're so not. And, oh, by the way, we're going to come whip your butt anyway. So it just, you know, World War One never really finished. It goes into two. In between those two is when they were doing all this IBM punch card thing. With the IBM punch cards, they were able to know where all the Jews were, you know, where all of everything was. So now we have Dr. Ron Paul up there going, don't be answering all. Yeah, and I've been doing this ever since I've had the census taken. You know, I graduated in 79, so I guess my parents had something to do with census. I didn't care. But I get married. I have kids. I've gone through, what, two of these? This is my third one. And I go, there are six human beings live here. You're lucky I'm even telling you that. Then you have the people come in, you know, it's going to be, you know, your acorn buddies. Now, that's what they were doing, the little GPS they want to have within 30 feet of where your front door is, your domicile. Boom, it's done in. We'll get that in that Hellfire missile if we need to. And I'm just like, you know, I'm not wanting to play anymore. Well, there's some stuff that's coming, and I want you to know about it because I love you. You stay right there. We'll be right back.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here from Phoenix, Arizona, and you can declare your independence all by yourself. You don't need a government form. But they're going to be pushing forms in front of your face a lot. You know, a lot of this is all a psyop. They're going to be doing the same thing to your kids. You're going to be getting, I got a postcard or a mail. My wife showed me, Donna, she comes up and she says, here, what's this? And it was from the Census Bureau. And it was a piece of paper in an envelope that was mailed to us to tell me that there'd be another piece of paper and an envelope that I'll get from them. They spent, I looked it up, it was like $50, $60 million they spent on mailing to people to let them know that they expect another piece of mail. Okay. No, that's, whatever, because they can't. So I'm looking at some of the things that we need to be concerned about just a little bit. And what do we have? Well, you know, that they're going to create a village in the United Kingdom. It kind of sets us up for the kind of thing that they'll want to do here. UK to create Potemkin villages. Welcome to Pleasantville. The government-funded project involves colorful graphic designs featuring a range of different shop types, which are either taped inside the windows or screwed to the fascia so that they can be removed and reused as required. This is it's a false front. I mean, it just, you know, we'll just put these images in the windows and with pictures of stuff on the shelves. And what's going to happen is they're going to create a idealistic shops or a community. And I don't know, are they going to pay people to walk around? It's going to be like Truman, you know, with Jim Carrey played this character that grew up in this fake community, and it's just being watched by everyone. Well, it seems like that's kind of what's going on. Fake businesses are to be used to lessen the impact of the recession on high streets in North Tyneside, with 140 empty shops in the borough. Council bosses think they have come up with a unique way of ensuring shopping areas remain as vibrant as possible. The first empty shop unit to be given a makeover with a flat pack shop front is in Whitley Bay. North Tyneside Council said the move was cost effective and would help to attract new investment. The council said the fake shop in Whitley Bay, which alone has 49 empty units, has been welcomed by traders and shoppers, attractive shop, blah, blah, blah. What they're doing is instead of having these for lease, for rent, for lease, vacant, come buy me, so whatever, all over that's going up in Phoenix here in the retail outlets, they put fake shops. So it makes it look like something's going on. This is how people think. You know, this is how this collective mindset is. It's a facade. We'll just pretend. You know, when you, if you let it go, prices go down to where they can be afforded. They're sustained. This is free market stuff. No. Now, of course, if the owner of the property wanted to do that, you know, that's fine. You know, cool. You know, let them do it. We need to ensure that the remaining businesses continue to survive, and that means ensuring our high streets look attractive to both shoppers and potential business investors. Okay, I agree with that. But they're going to use tax money of other people to create this illusion. This is going to happen. They'll start having fake people, you know, walking around and standing around. You know, oh, we got some potential investors coming. Everybody, positions, please. I mean, you know, this is the craziness that's going on. All right. Then we have the census coming around. They're going to be asking all kinds of stuff. We have Dr. Paul going, I wouldn't be asking all this other stuff. You know, you don't need to answer these questions and so on. Well, the states need to have this kind of, I guess, information, because some of the information, this is when this, I remember census takers at, I think it was, when was it? Yeah, it was about 2001. That's right. He comes up and he says, but we need to have all these special programs. If we don't answer all these questions, you know, our congressional district could lose money that's due us if you don't answer these questions. I'm going, so? This is their thought process. All right. You know, they start numbering cattle. They want to know where everybody's at. They want to know your history and a central thing. You know, this is something to be concerned about. Why? End is nigh. Let's go ahead and go over some of the presentation that Jack Gregson gave to the Arizona Breakfast Club this last Saturday. I was in Missouri, and we had decided that we wanted to do this because we've done it over the past few years. We've done it at least twice before. And Jack will scare the crap out of people because he's a big chart guy. He makes it easy for people to understand. And he pulls these off. I mean, some of them are government charts, the Federal Reserve, their zero hedge, economic whatever thing, blogspot dot whatever, and a lot of places that he gets a lot of information that he posts on Freedom's Phoenix. So he goes and searches this stuff out, and he kind of knows what's going on. He's like with Powell. He sold his home at the peak. He made sure he invested in the right things, and they just go, whoa, we'll just wait this one out. Because he went through this in California. His family used to own a lot of land around San Francisco, you know, back in the day. And it was just, you know, the cycles that went through California eventually just, you know, wiped their families out, the fortunes that they had. And he's recognized it again. He goes, look, I got family, young kids. You know, he's about my age. He's in his 40s, I reckon, or certainly early 50s. And he goes, I'm not losing everything. I'm not doing this again. I already know where this goes. Boom. Sold it. Invested it in silver and gold, did some other stuff, good. Now, his wife, not a big giant supporter, because she's a public school teacher. Didn't want to hear it, don't want to talk about it, you know, la, 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 la. And keep peace at home. They don't have that discussion. But I'm the man. I make the financial decision. This is going to happen. You'll thank me later. I don't know. Maybe she did. But, you know, he did it anyway, saved his butt. A lot of people that are friends and activists that work here at Freedom's Phoenix were listeners to the show since 2003 when I started, you know, watch out what's coming. Here is, you know, this is math. I don't know exactly when, but I know it's coming. I'm going to share with you guys, starting in the next segment, I'm going to try and go through really fast. There's 42 charts. So, I mean, it just says, this one says this, and this one says this because of that. I mean, we have to dwell on every single one for very much time, but they provide very good information over a long period of time to show where we're at. Like the first chart starts in 1920 and goes to 2009. It's America's debt burden, public and private, and they have lines for the government, financial sector, business, household, and then, of course, the total. It hasn't been this bad since the Depression. In 1930 to 33, around in there, you had, as a percentage of GDP, our debt was over 300%. Now, that was only for Nah, it's about it peaked in for about a year or two, and then it started going down, you know, and eventually we worked our way out. But we are now in the debt as a percentage of GDP since the Reagan administration. I mean, that's when the real spending really started. They can complain about the Democrats all they wanted to, but once they got hold of, you know, the war machine, it's the war machine's in motion and the bullets fall as rain. Okay. A line from Jordan Page. I mean, wow. We are now over 360% and it's going up. This, and it's a much bigger, more robust, can't stop it thing. Government has gotten so much larger that we cannot save the Titanic. We can only save the people. That this is, it's not a could happen, might happen if we don't do something thing. It's an already happened thing. Here's more details when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I want to break free.
Free from y'all. And, you know, as times get really bad, as here on Declare Your Independence, you know, we're trying to advocate for that freedom thing, because as times get really bad, they have people, individuals to worry about. You know, we had on Freedom's Phoenix today, there's a disgruntled employee. He's a state worker. Yeah, let me see. I'll pull this up for you. You know, I thought I'm going, ouch. It was a state employee was laid off, and he went and bought some guns, so they got him. An Oregon Department of Transportation employee who purchased several guns after being placed on leave and who was said to be disgruntled was apprehended by a SWAT team after making legal purchases of guns. Okay. I'm a help for a mental evaluation. Was he going to do something or was he investing? Oh, it doesn't matter. But I mean, you know, you kind of got to go, wow, this is why they need as much information as possible. How did they know? You know, how did he get, you know, the list went from, they went and checked on, and all of a sudden you got SWAT teams coming. You know, this is interesting stuff, is it not? You know, this is Oregon. Okay. 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 So what do I get today? I get an email from a friend of mine that follows a lot of Russell Pierce. Here is a senator that, man, immigration. But there's a little bit more behind that. I've interviewed him. If you go to ErnestHancock.com/archive, it's my old show. I rarely update that page anymore. We work on Freedom's Phoenix quite a bit, but it still has my old archives on there. And you go /archive. And you can search by subject and by guest, and you can put in Russell Pierce, or you can put in immigration. You know, I have a lot of shows on the subject. He's a state senator at the time. I don't know if he might have been a member of the House at the time, but they did a thing called Prop 200, and it was all about, you know, Arizona. You always hear, oh yeah, we're going to get them immigrants. Well, I knew from the beginning that this was way more than just that. He's for the man. You know, this is when he was director of the Department of Motor Vehicles, he was the one that brought in the concept of having your Social Security number on a federal level matched up with your driver's license. Well, people complain, I want my Social Security number at the top of my driver's license. How stupid is that? So they, okay, we'll give you a different number. You know, it's B, blah, 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 1-1, whatever. And, but it's linked to your Social Security number anyway. So I'm going, what's, you know, wow. So then we had my son gets old enough to drive. I have two sons. They're about a year and a half apart. He goes in, he fills out his stuff, gets his learner's permit, gets his license, fine. But then from the time from him to my third child, which is my second son, he gets up there. All of a sudden, he has to fill out a form signed by the parents that agree that when he turns 18, boom, he's automatically in selective service. You know, he's got it. You know, I mean, you want to get your Arizona driver's license? Well, I'll tell you what. When you hit 18, you're in selective service. I wouldn't do it. And I called and complained. Led up saying, "No, heck no." And you, he got his mother. His mother was willing to do it. I made a big stinking deal out of it. I'm not signing you in up to no. But of course, you know, you got a 15 and a half, 16 year old kid, man. You will not deny him his ability to drive a car. That's how they get you. My first son, later, he got a selective service thing. And I go, "How'd you do?" He goes, I get my motorcycle license." He bought himself a motorcycle, which he later sold, thank goodness, and a street bike. He has a dirt bike, too, but no street bikes. Oh, I used to have one. Scary. So what happens is he goes and gets his motorcycle license, and all of a sudden he's signed up for selective service. It was a condition of him doing it at his age. They're tying all the state and federal stuff in together. You are now a U.S. citizen. Well, I remember this just a few months ago. I went and spoke to a tea party in Yuma, and I'm coming back, and I know I got to go through the checkpoint. They have an immigration or whatever checkpoint. I don't know what they call it, but it's a checkpoint. So a lot of the guys have fun with it. You know, we had guys get arrested there for not refusing and tasered, and we go to court and all. We made a big deal out of it. We have all kinds of fun. So I'm going through, and, you know, it's my turn. And I've been there just a few days before. My wife, we were down there, too. And are you a U.S. citizen? No. I mean, what happens? I don't know. I mean, I guess you got to prove, or you say yes, or you say yes and you're wearing a turban. I mean, you know, I don't know, you know, what the purpose was. You know, you're going to lie. You say it with an accent. I mean, you know, and then they pull you over. I'm not really sure what the thing. Are you a U.S. citizen? So I put the camera on the dashboard, and I'm kind of thinking about it and talking to the camera and stuff. And I go through. I said, "We're going to try something." So I get up there and I said, "I was born in Dade City, Florida." "What?" "I was born in a hospital in Dade City, Florida." "Yeah, fine, go." So I'm thinking, if I say I'm a U.S. citizen, what does that mean? Am I, it's a legal question. Well, I don't know. I was born in the state of Florida. That's up to you. I'm not acquiescing. I'm not helping you. Okay. If that means I'm a U.S. citizen, fine. Then I, you know, whatever. And somebody told me later, they go, "Oh, because they want you to give them jurisdiction. By saying you're a U.S. citizen, boom, you are under the, you already volunteered, you're done." And if you lie, that's a whole other thing, I guess. But, you know, you are giving them sanction over whatever. And I'm going, "Oh, it's volunteering to be under their authority." "Oh, U.S. citizen? Oh, cool. Then we get to do what we want." All right. So I get an email from a friend of mine, laws that they're just passing right now. This is a big immigration thing, all kinds of protests back and forth. You're for more strict immigration laws. You're against, you know, whatever. And that's not even my issue. My thing is I know this is all a smokescreen for them to get more control. It's all about national ID. It's papers, please. It's getting us all in on the grid. You know, your health records, your employment records, your permission to work records, your records. I mean, you know, they used to say, "Look, I'll go on your permanent record," and it was a joke. Well, it ain't a joke anymore, all right? No official or agency of this state or a county, city, town, or other political subdivision of this state may adopt a policy that limits or restricts the enforcement of federal immigration laws to less than the full extent permitted by federal law. You understand that? Every level of government, from state down to local, cannot have anything that would impede papers, please, from the feds. Okay? For any legitimate contact made by law enforcement official or agency of this state or a county, city, town, or other political subdivision of this state where reasonable suspicion exists, whatever that is, that the person is an alien who is unlawfully present in the United States, a reasonable attempt shall be made to determine the immigration status of the person. The person's immigration status shall be verified with the federal government pursuant to 8 United States Code section blah, blah, blah. Okay. And it goes down. So it references this 8 U.S.C. 1373, and you go, okay, well, what's that? The Immigration and Naturalization Service shall respond to an inquiry by a federal, state, or local government agency seeking to verify or ascertain the citizenship or immigration status of any individual within the jurisdiction of the agency for any purpose authorized by law by providing the requested verification or status information, and then it goes on with other stuff. This is papers, please. We had a Frosty Wooldridge writes on Freedom's Phoenix a great deal, and his brother, it's Frosty and I think it's Harold. His brother, we did a lot of stories on him. I had him on the radio and such before because he is law enforcement against prohibition. This morning, Tony Ryan, he couldn't make it because he had a death in the family, but in a couple of weeks, he's coming to do a Thursday morning breakfast club thing that they have that he was going to be there this morning, but he wasn't. So they had the normal, AZ normal guys, this marijuana legalization petition has already been turned in. They have enough signatures. It's going to be on the ballot here in Arizona for doctors to recommend marijuana for pain, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm all about just doing away with any, just no more drug war and we'll be fine. But Tony Ryan will be speaking April 1st, and he'll come on the show, and he is a Denver police commander that he was the first one on scene during the Columbine shootings. Well, he's like, you know, this drug war thing is just a joke. So he's a big guy in the Libertarian National Committee. You know, he's on the National Committee, and he's one of the officers in Project Leap, a retired officer that is, look, this drug war not working. So this is all this drug war stuff, all this immigration stuff, all of this, it's all coming in as just an excuse for them to be able to number you. It's a papers, please thing. You know, we'll talk about it because this all segues into all this other stuff, this financial collapse. I just want you to know what's going on right now.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
They can, you know, they can do all this stuff. I can do all this stuff. See, how do you know if someone is illegal? The only way is to verify if someone is here illegally is to check their immigration status. Now, part of the legislation in Prop 200, when they got this, they wanted to, you know, clamp down on illegal aliens working here, and so on. It was a bill back in 2003. Is that, and it had a bunch of constitutional problems. I mean, it just, you know, because. But the one thing in there is that any dealings that you do with the state of Arizona, you had to produce a Arizona identification that, and they gave a criteria, that had been vetted with the federal government as having you determined to be a U.S. citizen. So back then, I'm going, look, man, what was amazing is you would have all these conservative, Republican, Christians going on. It was a big political issue, certainly coming from the Clinton administration with Janet Reno and all these guys wanting to do this stuff. The Republicans were, hell no, we're not having a real ID. It's a mark of the beast and blah, 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 right up until they used immigration as an excuse. Then the Republicans are begging for it, begging for it. Get them brown people out of here, okay? So I found that interesting. Well, how do you check? All right, well, let's go in this one bill that they reference. Except as provided in federal law, officials or agencies of this state and counties, cities, towns, and other political subdivisions of this state may not be prohibited or in any way be restricted from sending, receiving, or maintaining information relating to the immigration status of any individual or exchanging that information with any other federal, state, or local governmental entity for the following official purposes, which is whatever the heck they say they want to. Any transmission of this data. That's what got one of my friends involved in the early 90s. He was working for the state of Pennsylvania, collecting information and getting it all into certain fields for database, trans, blah, 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 blah. And all it was to make it to where it could be easily read by the federal government. That's what's going on here. They want to have all of your information from birth to death, health record, everything, that be consolidated under a national program for the federal government. And, you know, they're creating more and more checkpoints. You know, I used to think it was kind of funny when they're doing all this anal probing on the airlines after 9/11, and they go, you know, they're going to have to start doing roadblocks. People just drive. You know, we got an interstate system. Yeah, well, here it comes. Now, is this a shock to anybody? Okay, you know, everybody wanted to scream about immigration. And we have Frosty Wooldridge. He writes for Freedom's Phoenix a lot, immigration. I mean, I don't even read the stuff. Whatever, man. It's an environment where the whole world's going to go to heck because immigration and because. I don't even care. We put him up, he gets to have his say. His brother, I think it's Harold, he works with law enforcement against prohibition, so or did, and then it became much more popular to kind of work in the immigration thing, so he kind of came over with his brother Frosty working on that. So that's what got me off on the LEAP thing, law enforcement against prohibition. So I know these guys, you know, and I had encouraged them. They came on the show. We talk immigration. I got all kinds of long, drawn-out articles and shows on my position on immigration and theirs. And the bottom line came down to this. We had him come speak at a Freedom Summit one time in a debate with Bumper Hornberger from the Future Freedom Foundation. And his position basically is summed up, isn't it always the government that complains about more customers? I mean, if you didn't have all these benefit programs and this welfare state and all this other garbage, why would they come unless it was because there was a job they're waiting for them and they wanted to work? You know, it's not. Libertarians just see it a different way. It's a voluntary association with someone. I want them to make widgets. They want to make widgets. We're going to do it for this much. Fine. But no, you got to have this third party come in, the federal government, say, you got to get a permission slip from us to do this. And we're supposed to go, yay, they're saving us from what? It's social and economic engineering. All the problems of, well, they use the libraries, they use the public schools, they use the public health, they clog up the hospitals. Well, stop all these programs. You know, we're like, so don't have them. Well, we want them for our people. You know, I don't care if you're from Appalachia or you're from Sonora, Mexico. If you're taking my money, you're stealing from me. I've worked with a lot. I've been in the restaurant business. I have a lot of Mexican friends and a lot of people that are illegal. And I'm telling you, you know, these people that got off their butt and it's amazing what they went through to come here to get a job and left socialism there to come here. They are the most prime for converting to our way of life. But who goes and targets them? The Democrats. They'll go in and say, oh, yeah, we love you long time. We're going to get you on a program. We're going to make you dependent. We want you to get this. You can get all this stuff for your kids, and you get the education, blah, blah, blah. They want them to be dependent. They do. They're used to it. I mean, but they know that they're recreating it. So we market them. We go and give them Philosophy of Liberty cards that goes to a Spanish version of that that explains why you don't want this government. You left this. Don't recreate it. You know, they're a fertile market for us. All Democrats hate when we do that because they have a big thing. It'll be hundreds of thousands of people that will come to these big immigration rallies, and we have tens of thousands of cards we're just throwing out there. People go and they get a little education. That's how we roll. So regardless of what your position is on immigration, whether you think, you know, we got to defend, and, you know, how's that working out? Are they really? I go down to the border right now, they have a big fence, and CNN will have a big thing, and look here, and the Minutemen, and the fence, and all that. And it's hundreds of miles away. You just go to the end of the fence, and I did this. I got video on Freedom Drive going, I'm in Mexico, I'm in the U.S. I'm in Mexico, I'm in the U.S. What a joke. It's all politics, and it's all politics around what? To get you to willingly accept a papers please society. They want you to believe that your neighbors are begging for it. Begging for it. We have to have this. All right. Well, you're getting it. We'll see how it works out. And, you know, don't come crying to me later, you know, that they, whatever, this is how it came. It was immigration. That's how they got it done. Well, we have the public and private debt total is now over 360% of our GDP. And at the peak of the Depression, it was at 310. So we're way past that, and it's much deeper and a much larger government. We're not going to be able to survive. The next chart goes to one thing when they used to do debt, you know, they'd spend money in the economy. You would spend a dollar, you know, they have figures here from 1965. You would get about 90 cents out of it. So you go, okay, we got a dollar for this project, and we get 90 cents worth of bridge, 90 cents worth of a highway. 90 cents worth of, I mean, you actually would take the money. Okay, it came over here and it went and go build. Yeah, but you knew what was going to happen. It's got to the point now that, what's his name? Mark Tabor, an economist, he goes, for every dollar that we spend now, it's minus 60 cents that we get out of it. How is that? Well, it's a cumulative interest. I mean, it's just, you know, what's the eighth wonder of the world? I don't know, compound interest, you know, people that keep doing. I don't know how he comes up with that figure of negative 60 cents, but if he's right, I mean, dang. And the other figures they got here, they got it down as low as 20 cents return on a dollar that they indebt us. But, you know, this was, you know, a couple of years ago, and he's saying that we're negative already. Well, okay. Then you have the household net worth. What happened is you have at about 2000 and so your net household net worth, you know, you have a home, you have a, you know, 3.87 people living there or whatever it is, and their net worth was about $44,000. So it fluctuates in between about $44,000 to $40,000 until we get into 2004 and it starts going up. This is the housing bubble. All of this additional worth that people have here in America was in their home. So what did they do? They turned it into an ATM machine. They refinanced. They bought bigger houses. They did whatever. Now, all of a sudden, now their median household net worth is over $65,000, like $66,000. Well, then what happens at the peak? Man, it drops. It just took a dump, $11 trillion loss in the economy. From the people, their household net worth. So when was this done? 2007, it peaked. What also is peaking at the same time? The maximum earning years of all the baby boomers. This is when they were, you know, at the peak of their earning. They got it all. I mean, it's almost like it was on purpose. You had the peak of the earning power of the largest hump of demographics of the American people in there, and what did they do? All of a sudden, at their peak, it went away and dropped down to, I don't know, almost what it was at the beginning of the decade. So this is, it's coming. Somebody was fleeced. Who was it? It was the people with the money. Who are the people with the money? The baby boomers. Now they're starting to get into the entitlements. They're counting on all the stuff that's promised them. What's going to happen? We'll talk about it when we come back. Don't stop.